Vibe 107.6.
We have got a very, very special show for you today. Right, today we are going to be talking about dementia. Right, we're going to be talking to a load of people in the community who are helping the dementia community, helping people living with dementia, helping though their friends, their family through a range of incredible initiatives. We've got guests from the world of sport, we've got guests from the worlds of politics and even food. And before we get into the show, dementia, what does it actually mean? Well, it's a general term for loss of memory, language, problem solving and other thinking abilities that are severe enough to interfere with daily life.
Vibe 107.6.
Hannah Foster, she's a project officer at Watford Football Club and she joins me now to explain just a little bit more about what they're doing. Good afternoon, Hannah.
Good afternoon, Benji. Thank you so much for letting us come on your show today.
Well, it's my absolute pleasure because dementia is not going away. More people are affected by it every year. And it's just so heartening to see Watford Football Club getting involved. Now, listen, let's start at the very beginning. For people that might be turning on their radio this afternoon that haven't been affected by dementia or not quite sure what it is, Hannah, explain to us what dementia is and how it affects people.
I'm so glad you've asked this question because I really feel that people don't always understand what dementia is. So I kind of feel the best way to explain it is the bookshelf model of memory storage. So there's your factual memory and your emotional memory. So if you could imagine two bookshelves or two bookcases standing side by side, one holds your factual memory and one holds your emotional memory. So the memories are all attached to experiences. And if you look at the shelves, right from the top would be your recent memories, and then it would go down to sort of your middle age, teenage, through to your childhood. So what happens is, in the factual memory, is damaged first. So the bookcase holding your factual memory, the books fall away from the top, so your recent books would fall off the shelves. So for someone with dementia, it's difficult, so they might forget that they've had breakfast or visited a friend or something. So slowly over time, the books fall off the shelves. So it starts with your recent memory and it goes slowly over time. Whereas a person who has dementia, their emotional memories tend to stay intact and their emotions are heightened. So the feelings of frustration and anger and sadness of not being able to do what they used to be able to do are heightened.
That's such an interesting kind of visual way of describing it, the bookshelf and the books kind of falling away and those emotional those emotions being heightened. Definitely something I've seen firsthand. Now, listen, Hannah, football, yes, we understand that there is a link between football and dementia. There have been a number of studies. We're going to be talking to another guest a little bit more about that. But in the football club, what are you guys doing? You've got a steering group, is that right? What does a steering group sort of mean?
Well, actually, I work for the council, which has set up the Dementia Steering Group, which is led by Peter Taylor, who you're going to have on the show shortly. But I also work for Watford Football Club Community Trust, and we have a programme called Golden Memories that's been going for 18 months now, which is being funded by the Premier League, and we're working in partnership with Watford Museum. So the aim is to evoke memories, so sporting memories, so older fans with dementia come back into the stadium, and we have former players involved, which is absolutely brilliant. So they get to meet their idols, they get to sort of hold the trophies. We also have Graham Taylor's wife, Rita Taylor, is one of our key volunteers. So, you know, it's amazing having her there as part of the program. So obviously Graham Taylor was an absolute legend to Watford Football Club. So we have a lot of memorabilia around him, and we have all the footage, and everything is themed, so it's sort of going back in time through the decades of Watford's history. And they sit in the Century Room and the Sky Lounge, which overlook the pitch. So it's an incredible experience for people coming in. We've even had guests come in just absolutely in shock, saying, you know, they can't believe how atmospheric it is being in a stadium, even though it's an empty stadium, looking out.
It's so interesting because, as we're going to be discussing through the show today, you know, we'll be talking about food a little bit later, we'll be talking about music, but we sometimes forget that sporting and sporting days out and victories and goals, they're so kind of tangible for the fans that you must really find, and the people that come down and the service users and come down, take part in these groups, they must find that these kind of reliving these memories also open up other memories, you know, unlock other little doors.
Yeah, absolutely. I think through photos and through sort of the footage, we have like a movie room that they can spend time in. And I think just going back into the stadium and seeing, oh, this is the seat that we were in. And also we have like a stadium tour, which is absolutely incredible. So they love being part of that and sitting in the sort of changing rooms. And we also have Tom Whalley, who, is an incredible legend to Watford as well, and is in the Hall of Fame at Watford. So he was a coach and also a player at Watford. And he is part of our program because, very sadly, he has dementia. Yeah. But it's been really important for him and his family as well. So we also had Mick Benning, who very sadly passed away last December. And his grandson, Charlie, is doing some fundraising for Golden Memories at the moment in his name. So when we launched Golden Memories in August last year, so 18 months ago, we did a tribute to the 1960s and we brought Mick Benning out of his care home.
Brilliant.
Because I'd met his wife, Pat, through... through one of the dementia groups. There are so many amazing dementia groups.
Hannah, this sounds brilliant. I'm so proud to be presenting in Watford and to be for us to be talking to a club who are aware of their younger fans and new generations, but really do honour their older fans. Hornets at Home, we've spoken a lot about over lockdown. Hannah, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon, and we can't wait to talk to some of the other fab guests that Hannah's helped line up, including Luther Blissett.
Vibe 107.6.
I'm thrilled to have him on the line this afternoon. Good afternoon, Luther Blissett.
Benji, hi, how are you?
Very well. 503 games and 186 goals, am I correct?
Wow, I tell you what, for somebody who says, you know, about sport, that is absolutely on it. I'm impressed.
And have you scored any more goals in the back garden recently?
No, not allowed out there at the moment.
Listen, it's great to have you on. We heard about Golden Memories. We're about to hear a bit more about it. But firstly, dementia is something that's affected you personally. Tell me a bit more.
It is. I mean, we've got a family member that is a sufferer, and it's coming to terms with a completely different person at times, and then other times you are, you know, they seem so lucid and are actually with you where you are, but mostly it's not that person that you once knew. And it's a very surreal thing to get used to. But you have to try and understand from their point of view where they are. And I suppose in a way you can probably get a feeling for it if you were just dropped off in some country which language you don't understand at all the culture or anything. And that gives you a bit of an idea, I suppose, of where a dementia sufferer is.
And I've had personal experience of this as well, like you. And I think at the beginning, it can be a very negative experience for anyone. And it can be a very downbeat time. But not every day has to be negative. Not every day has to be downbeat. Because with initiatives like Golden Memories, you can bring football lovers who are living with dementia and see smiles on their faces. Tell me what role you play and how you've been involved with Golden Memories.
Well, Golden Memories, I'm an ambassador for Golden Memories, and the Watford obviously started their Golden Memories sessions last year. And for myself to go in and speak with dementia sufferers, I've not met before these people, but why I think being able to bring out memories from people that are, in a way, you can say they're lost in a way where they are, is quite incredible. And when you start talking to them and you tell them about your football career and things that have happened with you, and then they say to you, did you know? And they start to tell you about one of theirs, and what I remember is this, and they tell you in such detail that it's quite incredible how the detail and the way they remember it. But it's finding a way out to get that out of them. And I think golden memories doesn't necessarily have to be about sport. It can literally be about anything. And then, you know, the interest of that, of the sufferer, I think is very important. And if you know that, they're the things that you get them to talk about. Looking at photographs of family members and occasions and being able to talk about it. And you soon find, and I'm sure you remember this yourself, that they start to remember things and they start to recognise the faces and occasions that they were in starts to come back to them.
Absolutely. And during this show, we've spoken about sport. We're going to be looking at food. We're going to be looking at music. And for my grandpa, it was speaking a bit of German to him, which he was bilingual in at a time. Right. And seeing him 8 years into his dementia battle, being able to speak German, it's really
incredible.
It's incredible. It's jaw-dropping, actually. Now listen, Luther. Dementia has been linked to football players have been known to suffer with dementia. There has been a link there. There have been some tests done to show that there is a link. What can the football industry do to better support players who may find themselves suffering from dementia later on in their career?
I think we're all, you know, once you've been a member of the Professional Footballers Association as a player, you know, you're a member for life. So that is somewhere where you or your family can always go to get help, advice and whatever. So I think the PFA are there for all of us if we do need it. And I think that's very, very important to let people be aware of that from the word go. I mean, I myself at times, you know, your memory is absolutely shocking. And when you hear that there is a link, you know, they believe there's a link, then you start to wonder about your own self, if that's going to be what you are. I read a piece today about Mick Harford saying that, you know, he's now wondering if that's going to be him with dementia in years down the line because of the number of footballs that he's headed. So it's one of those things we all have to wait and see, because not everybody will be affected. Some will be far more than others. But is it totally down to being the head in a football? Because, you know, we do get other clashes with people's heads and elbows and stuff like that when you're playing football, and, you know, you occasionally get a kick in the head with a knee or something. So there's so many things that can contribute to that. You know, so, you know, we shouldn't all just say football is bad, da da da, whatever. Because I think if you speak to 90%+ of all of us footballers, we would say, you know, would we do the same thing? Yes, we would. Because it's something we love doing. So, you know, the PFA are there, and, you know, we can always go to them if in need, and they will do whatever they're able to do to help out. So I think we're quite fortunate in having representatives like that.
And just before we let you go, because we're just running out of time, once it is safe to do so, I bet you can't wait to get back to those golden memory sessions, meet those older fans, unlock those little doors in their memories.
Absolutely.
And see their smiles on their faces.
Yeah, that's really what it's about. And I think that the one thing that I can say to anybody out there is, if you know somebody who is living with somebody who has dementia, the thing to do is keep in contact with them, speak to them, because they need help just as much as the sufferer does. And you need they need some time just to be able to pick the phone up and ring somebody and say, this is going on, and then they understand what they're going through to help them so they can deal with situations. And I think that's very, very important, that we all understand what dementia is. And it's not only about losing your memory. There are so many other things which are, you know, really the bad side of it. And you do get bits of violence, and you do get, you know, inappropriate words that come out of people towards women and vice versa. So there's a bit of a spectrum there that we need to understand, and not only be focusing on the memory, because there are lots of other things.
Vibe 107.6.
Dementia and those people living with it. Now, of course, 6:05 can only mean one thing. It's Ask the Mayor Mondays with our lovely Mayor, Peter Taylor. Good evening, Peter.
Good evening, Benji. How are you doing?
I'm very well, thank you. Now, we're asking everyone today, listening to the show, which food or meal or dish sends you right back, evokes those childhood memories?
For me, it would have to be prawn cocktail skips, the crisps, which were very much a thing of my childhood. And actually, I remember when I used to go home, my mum used to buy them especially for me, even when I was kind of in my 20s and 30s. So I don't know if you can still get them, but prawn cocktail skips.
In your 30s, Peter Taylor.
I'm now in my 40s.
The thing is with prawn cocktail skips, it wasn't just about the taste. It was a whole experience, wasn't it? Because you'd put your tongue out and it would start fizzing away on the tongue.
That's right. Yep.
Oh, that's sending me right back. Now, of course, today's show is all about dementia. I know it's something which you're very hot on, as our mayor. Numbers are only increasing in and around Watford. What are the council doing to support those people living with it and their carers?
Yeah, you're right, Benji. It is something that's really important. So we think about 1,000 people in Watford are living with dementia, and I really noticed it when I was, you know, going around knocking on doors and talking to residents, that quite often you'd have someone who was the carer of someone, you know, the partner of someone living with dementia, and they were just finding it really, really difficult. They could feel quite lonely and isolated. My granddad had dementia many years ago before he sadly passed away, and so I know how tough it is for family and friends, and so I was really keen, you know, to bring lots of groups together in the town, and we've been looking to kind of increase the number of services that are available. So there's lots of music classes and cafes and all kinds of different things. Obviously, it's been a bit affected by COVID, but for any of your listeners who want to find out more, the big thing to do is go to the website, which is just dementiafriendlywatford.com.
And just to really pierce right to the heart of what you just said about knocking on doors, it just made me think about that very real situation where you've got two people that have been married, I don't know, 40-50 years. They've been perfectly fine living on their own. They don't want interference. They can manage this okay. And then one of them falls ill with dementia. It is so hard for some people to feel okay about asking for help and then accepting it.
Oh, I think the emotional, you know, it's heartbreaking cases that I came across. And as you say, you know, you've got people who have been in love and have been married for decades and decades, and then, you know, they see their partner going through changes. They know that the essence of the person is still there. There's kind of moments when they're really lucid, but then other moments when they might not recognise them or know their name and things like that, that are just, you know, as I say, heartbreaking cases. One of the really important things I think we're doing with this initiative is bringing the carers together. So we had a few weeks ago carers going for just a walk in Oxley Park, going to the cafe. We're just chatting to people in the same situation. And the people that were living with dementia were able to do arts and craft, really great activities for them, and to have a pleasant experience. But for the carers to make those connections, I think was really, really important for them.
And if you're at home listening to this and thinking, yeah, this sounds familiar, or I think I might need some help, there really is so many services. If you don't have the internet, you can call the council, you can ask a friend to log on. They are there. And speaking to Luther Blissett earlier in the show, and lovely Hannah from the Watford Football Community Trust, there will be brighter days ahead. There will be smiles. There will be laughs. There will be amazing experiences that you may not have otherwise experienced unless you were in this position. That's really what I want to shine a light on this show, is basically to say, just when you get that diagnosis, and I've been there as a family member, it does not mean that for the next 10 years or however long, things are going to be doom and gloom. There is a light at the end of the tunnel. There are multiple lights along the way.
107.6.
It's music, and I'm absolutely thrilled to welcome to the show this evening Kerry from our local musical memories group. Good evening, Kerry.
Good evening.
It's lovely to have you with us. Now, let's get right down to it. What is musical memories, and how can people get involved?
Right, well, musical memories is singing for memories. So we run groups, and people come along. We usually have people with dementia and their carers, or people who are worried about their memories, and we basically sing together. So we do a variety of songs from all different eras, from the charts, from musicals, and we play around with songs. We practice some to get them better, and mostly we laugh an awful lot. And it's usually at me making loads of mistakes.
Well, do you know what? You're taking me right back to the Vicky McClure Dementia Choir programme, which was a smash hit. I think it won a BAFTA, actually.
It did, yes.
And sure, did you find after that programme, which I think was it last year or a couple of years ago? Did you get a big kind of rush of interest?
We got a huge... Our phone was basically ringing off the hook for people to join. And a lot of people would say, oh, I don't know if singing's for me, or I can't sing, I don't know. And then they come along, and by the end of the session, they're going out laughing and saying, when can we come again? And, you know, they absolutely love it. There's something very magical about it. I think music brings people together, and we remember music at different events through all our lives. And the amazing thing about music and people with dementia is that they can connect to that memory. So even though their memory, you know, they're struggling a bit, they sing a song and they're suddenly back there at that moment when they first heard that song. It's very exciting. I feel like my job is watching miracles every week. It's amazing.
I bet. I mean, choir singing is something, I mean, it's so magical. I was only in a YouTube hole the other day where I was just listening to loads and loads of choirs singing different versions of pop songs. It's something about community, and it's something about coming together. Doesn't matter what the song is, that just, magic, isn't it?
It's very, very special, and they've actually amazingly got the science to prove that singing together is as good for you as physical exercise. It releases the same endorphins, and it also kind of increases the oxygen into the brain, and it's a real feel-good factor. So sometimes we have people turning up to the group and they're on the verge of tears. They don't know how they can make another step forward in their lives. They just really are at their bitter end, and then they leave the session and they're laughing their heads off, and they said, I'm so glad we came, this is a lifeline. And the wonderful thing is we do different things as well. So we've sung at St Mary's Church. We've sung in the and one guy with dementia said, no, I didn't think I could do this sort of thing anymore. It's incredible. And it's just so uplifting, because it restores people's pride in themselves. It gives them confidence.
That is
again.
Just you. My heart is full. Listen, Kerry, I'm going to have to let you go. But before I do, could you just let us know, if people are listening at home, if you think you could benefit from this beautiful group, from this wonderful collection of people, how can people get in touch with you, Kerry?
Well, they can get in touch with the SmileRound website, www.heartsmusicalmemories.org.uk, and we're doing everything online at the moment.
Oh, so you are good.
Tell people to, because we're having a ball. We're absolutely really laughing. It's so much fun, and we're having such a great time. So, you know, don't worry that we're in lockdown or that we can't get to our halls. We're still out there. We're still doing stuff.